And welcome to the Glacially Musical Podcast, the least professional podcast in the history of podcasts, which I think this may be the only one. Of course, I am Nick Cameron of Glacially Musical, joined by my good friend, a man with a hat, a man with a shirt, a man who's always trying to steal my style, Keefe Kleptomaniac. How are we doing today, buddy?
Yowza, what an intro. I'm hanging in there, man. It's been a day. Let me tell you, it has been a day to see
that one was literally off the cuff.
Traipsing. Well, sometimes you're good like that, and other times you struggle, but this time it was good.
I apologize for the interruption. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Of course, this is the Glacially Musical Podcast, a ghost cult joint, or doobie, if you prefer. It is a joint podcast with Glacially Musical and Keefe and all his business, and we'll get to that, more business of that later. If you are here for the first time because you saw Divine Intervention and you love Slayer that much, I question a lot, but you found your tribe, so thank you for joining us. Please give us a 7 to 8 year trial. Here's how we do this each week for the new people. We greet, we beer, we vinyl, we news, we shirt, we meet. The meat of the day is, of course, Slayer. Define. Slayer, Defined. No, it is not. It is Slayer, Divine Intervention, their sixth album and their first without Dave Lombardo. We will be joined by Keefe's good friend, a man who I have been competing with for Keefe's affection, the most attractive man I have seen in some time, the most attractive man whose apartment I have zoomed into. Oh, and we'll get to him later. So I'm going to start off with my beer check, and I got to double check because I got a new glass.
You didn't even mention his name. It's Omar Cordy.
No.
Were you surprising it? I mean, like, everybody yes, knows. Omar Cut was, This is a running joke, no?
I know. That was intentional. It was
Should have told me.
Look, I'm gonna quote Gimli on that. That was intentional. That was intentional.
Don't tell the elf.
My beer of the week, I don't know if I mentioned it, but I went to a lobster thing at Second Shift Brewery a couple weeks ago. And while I had a lobster roll, they had Connecticut or, Maine. The smart money is always on Connecticut, part of the tri-state area. So I hear, and that's where the real life Soprano lived, according to Jim Gandolfini. But I got a Second Shift Brewery Double IPA, just called the DIPA, and I am pouring this into a brand new glass. My Richard Gebhardt, House Majority Leader, thank you for your support mug.
What the fudge?
You don't know who Richard Gebhardt is?
Yeah, of course I do, but like, why do you have that?
Because I saw it at Goodwill and I thought, you know what I need more than anything?
Who in St. Louis had this that they put it in Goodwill? Like, what the fuck? I'm baffled by this.
Is it? Would you have not purchased it too?
I mean,
if it were one of your Congress critters,
I would have considered it. Was he a Missourian?
Yeah, he was. I believe he was District 2, which I have never been in District 2er when he was in charge. But he was. I mean, he was House Majority Leader. I mean, he was a pretty serious dude, and he had red hair like my family. So you know, I got that. Did the finger fudge pour? As you can see, it looks awful. I mean, that's what I got.
Fair enough. You know what I have as a non-beer. I have another Liquid Death.
Murder your thirst.
This is the Severed Lime. There might be a cool, fun Liquid Death thing popping up next week with Ghost Cult. Going right into my Glacially Musical poured glass one more time. There's no reason to pour this into a glass. I realized, like, while at the supermarket the other day, the entire purpose of these cans is to save water, and by putting seltzer into a glass that I then have to wash, I'm defeating the purpose. But anyway, cheers.
You hate the world. Cheers, my friend.
Justice and the planet and climate change, everything.
I hate my parents. I hate the world. I hate myself.
Goth music in a nutshell.
My Letterkenny fans will be on top of that one. So, my vinyl check this week. I don't have any vinyl news, but just in case Keefe gets to talk more than me, I'm throwing an extra record in there. Step one. It is STP Purple. You may notice I have the Mylar, or the shrink wrap is still on there. Hype sticker. This is a Walmart pressing. I got it on Discogs. When I was getting together a Dunkin' package, I asked lawyer wife if she wanted to help me fill it out, because I kind of like bought it due to an episode Duncan and I did. I started it because of an episode Duncan and I did, and I didn't really have anything in mind. So I said, you know, what's really good for these packages is early 90s music. So she's like, STP Core. And I looked it up and I went, holy shit, the original pressings of that are not, that is not what we're doing here. And she's like, oh, well, give me a repress. Okay, so here we are.
Purple, not Core.
iPod. Well, yeah. Maybe Core comes later. Yeah, I know, but I'm going in my order. I'm not going in STP's order, sir.
Her order, apparently.
Anyway, so that was we ended up getting, I'm like, oh, purple's cheap. Let's get that. She's like, okay, let's get that. It is a cool splatter. Oh, I didn't pull it out. Sorry about that.
It's the first time Nick has ever said that in his life. I didn't pull it out.
No, it is not. I have a kid. As you can see, it is a cool blue, sky blue and white splatter. Very cool. I was never the biggest STP fan in the world. I remember a good friend of mine who was the brother of the Urge's second drummer, John Pasoni. And he always talked about how much better STP was than Pearl Jam. And I'm like, oh, it's alternative Metallica, Slayer. So I couldn't get into it. But I'm actually kind of getting later on in life. I did get, you know, some more stuff, and you know, I can appreciate them a lot more. The second record of the reason why it is in the shrink wrap still is because I'm now putting everything into vinyl sleeves. So I finally have a stack of outer sleeves to protect my records. There may be a cat in here and it's dark, so if I get attacked, I'm sorry. The next record, Black Keys Dropout Boogie, one of their latest. I don't know if I've ever really mentioned it, but I'm actually a pretty reasonable sized Black Keys fan. I wouldn't call myself hardcore. I wouldn't call myself casual, kind of in the middle there. And I really like their latter days and I like their early days. So I've kind of got this really weird fandom. I like the beginning and I like the end. I'm not so much for the soft underbelly. And now the last record.
Is it a 3-4?
Yeah. So that way, because I don't have any news, so I don't want you to talk more than me. So I'm throwing another record in. This I purchased also in Rockford, Illinois. And we went to a couple of record stores and I only got one record because I was trying to be somewhat responsible. As you will find out through the next coming weeks, I have not been. But I love OG pressings and I have been very on the record on this show that OG pressings are my personal favorite. Your mileage may vary, but for me, I find they sound better. They sound, to quote the rapper Atheist, later Rhyme Time, Scott Knopf, you know, it just sounds, you know, go ahead and unplug your iPod. My vinyl is liver. And I find that original pressings are liver than modern pressings. So I replaced one of my modern pressings. Styx, Mr. Roboto. When Steve Scavuzza, and this is it's an original press, so there's no, you know, cool colors or anything like that. But anybody who listened to the Steve Scavuzza of Clouds Taste Satanic interview will recall us talking about that for some reason. I'm sorry, that is not correct. Steve Scavuzzo said he wanted to be on my other podcast, the Department of Metal Antiquities. And since I had that, I made him listen to it. And he did. And his response was, wow, this was a fun podcast. I'm going to go listen to a good Styx record now.
Brutal. Again, I asked the question on X today, or yesterday, and Duncan replied today. I was like, one has to wonder if Nick even likes Duncan on a spiritual level based on these album choices.
Okay, in all fairness, you said that based on our episode on the Paul Di'Anno vehicle, Killers, the album being Murder One. I had never heard it. So it's not like I knew. So
I knew. I could tell you. I didn't know. I could have told you if you just asked me. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you like Dunkin', don't do it.
The podcast is not Ask Keefe if these albums I've never heard suck.
That's totally fair. And the tagline of the podcast is, we listen to records you, so you don't have to. It's a terrible Dunkin' imitation.
There are three taglines.
I'm sorry, Dunkin'.
There are three taglines. We listened, so you didn't have to. We listened, now it's your turn. And we listened in case you didn't have to.
Third one is a little squiffy. I don't know about that third one. In case.
Well, the third one, the third, that's for Spin It. There's a tagline for Spin It, there's a tagline for Bennett, and there's a tagline for Split.
Fair enough, my friend, fair enough. All right, that's a pretty good three right there. I am going to talk more on the front end of the pod, and on the chance that our guest does indeed make it, talk more at the, less on the second half of the pod. But I have a 1.5-4, and I'm going to do the half real quick, just because I have it right here, also in the shrink wrap. Look what I have! Anyway.
We did not plan that, and your pressing is different than mine. Yours is not the splatter like mine.
Actually, it is totally the splatter like yours. It's the blue. It says blue splatter Walmart. Well, that might be a terrible hype sticker. It might be a different splatter. It's very typical of the Walmart stickers. Same with Metallica. They're all pretty terrible. But actually, that's not my vinyl check. I do want to do this. I love this album, and I really want to do it on a future podcast. My actual vinyl check today.
I'm just going to throw this out there on the air, not putting you on the spot at all. But as we have gone 4 episodes in a row without a chaser, we can do 2 chasers. Just going to throw it out there.
We'll talk about it. I don't like doing 2 chasers, but maybe. Hey, audience, by the way, not only should you be subbed if you're listening and watching this, and you should be following Nick's podcast, the Department of Metal Antiquities. Not sure if it's on YouTube yet, but it's supposed to be.
We talk. We haven't done it yet.
You know, share this with your friends. I had really expected the Slayer episodes. Some of them have been bangers, and most of them have been good, and some of them have done well, but like I had figured these would, you know, grow exponentially, and they really haven't. So if any, you're out there.
Especially with the Slayer news of the reunion.
Right. And Kerry King solo album. You know,
SEO stuff. Maybe I should talk to Rajesh and Hoteep and Muhammad Asif that email me every day.
I don't know. In the time that we have done this podcast series, and this is the last Slayer episode today that I know of, unless we get DX Ferris on for a chaser, Kerry announced his record. Slayer reformed a week later, and then Slayer got announced for additional things. So, like, I thought there'd be a little more. I'm happy, but I'd like to, I'd like some more interest. So if you got a friend that likes podcasts and Slayer or other things we do, please, get them to sub. Ask them to follow us. Tell them to check it out.
I mean, we hit that without knowing any of it. It's like, we put out the Slayer series. Oh, Kerry King puts out a single and a record. Slayer's a thing again. It's like, oh, damn.
We could not know. We could not possibly know. Anyway, so that was my half a check, and now my full check is a pretty cool album. This is an EP. On vinyl, which, I'm not always sure how that goes, but it's technically a full track listing. But it was officially an EP. This is Insight, Wake Up Dead. You may be familiar with this band's frontman, Richie Cavalera, the son of Max Cavalera. Richie.
Keefe loves him some second generation.
I love some second generations and some crossover shirts and some all kinds of things. And trucker hats and big boobs and redheads. This record's kind of a re-recording of some of their earlier stuff. It's got a new song with Max on it, with his son. Insight, for those not in the know, is a very machine-heady Lamb of God metal band. And they will go on tour with Max's bands. I picked this up directly from Richie when he was doing the merch sales for the Cavalera Brothers tour last fall. Currently, Max just wrapped up his tour with his Go Ahead and Die band with his other son, one of his other sons, Igor Amadeus Cavalera, and there's also Zion Cavalera, who also plays in Soulfly on drums. And so this is a pretty cool album. It has the double gatefold with all the lyrics. It's only one LP, so I know how Nick feels about that already. Not great.
You're spending extra money for something we don't need. Put it in the insert.
I like that the lyrics are there, but you're right. It would be less paper and cheaper theoretically cheaper with the insert. I think this was $25 at the show.
It's cheaper.
$25 at the show.
I looked into pressing a friend of mine's record a long time ago. And for you ha one, you have to be able to press and sell 300 of them to make any money. That's if you can't do that, it's almost no you're paying. But it was like $10. It was basically $10 all in per record. Because at 300, you could sell them for almost like $22, and it'd be. I mean, you're not going to make as much money as a CD because you can sell you get a CD for one, and you can sell it for 10 or 7. But yeah, the gatefold was an ad, was a $2 adder. A four color cover was a $2 adder. Swirl was an adder. So it's it, you know, the cheapest you can go is no insert, three color cover, and you're looking at like it was, at the time. Now, mind you, this was years ago. It's like $10 a record for 300. So you're dropping $3,000. Just, I mean.
Right, and they're on, have been on some labels, so I think it's okay. I would say like just the original EP of five songs on a vinyl, I don't know how worth it the double gatefold is with the extra bonus tracks that do not come on anywhere else. I like that it's on the side B of the vinyl. It did
That
come
is
in the
cool.
Mylar with the paper for the added effect, and
That's also an adder.
just a good old vinyl pressing. With the really cool, I do like this side. This black side is the official original EP, and the blue side is the bonus content with bonus content written in white under their logo.
Interesting.
And that's already in an outer sleeve. So yeah, man, vinyl good times. For news this week, we're
I
gonna do
do
the
have
thing.
one short one.
Keep it real short, because I have a
Real
really
short.
long one.
Hatebreed and Carcass are touring and coming to town. So guess who's gonna see some Carcass?
Are you gonna leave after Carcass? I hope not.
Maybe.
Oh, don't do it. Please don't
depends
do it.
upon, it depends upon if I have a friend with me.
I
Although
see.
I think friend of the show Danny Nichols was probably gonna go to that show, so
You might.
I'll get
I
a
mean,
ride from him.
Hatebreed is fun to watch. I wouldn't sit
Okay,
around
I'll give
listening to their records.
I don't like their records, but I'll give it the old college try.
If you're feeling down and out, Hatebreed is a good band to list. They will pump you up for the gym.
If
They
you're
will pump
feeling
you
down
up.
and out, there's only one thing that's gonna bring you up.
Schneef?
Cold gin.
Old gin. All right. I knew that was coming. All right. So, big news. I have the Record Store Day list finally, and we're gonna whip through this.
All I'm gonna do
Smash or
is
pass.
yeah, okay.
Smash means buy, pass means pass. And we're
Yes.
gonna whip through this list because I've been promising this for quite a while. I'm gonna
Let's
move
roll.
the li gonna move the list into my screen so I can
Look at
see
this.
it
Looks like
all.
butterbeer.
It does a little look like Butterbeer. I've never read, watched a second of Harry Potter, could not care less.
Oh my God, you're so cool. You're like me with Lord of the Rings till I met my wife. Go ahead. Oh, by the way, I'm mentioning my kid. She's awesome and has great music taste. She got a Strokes record today.
That's pretty cool. I have no complaints. Your kid rules. All right. 1, 2, 3. Smash or pass the entire Record Store Day, rock, metal, a little bit of hip hop, a little bit of punk. All right. Ready?
Cool.
100 Gex Snake Eyes 10-inch vinyl.
Pass.
10,000 Maniacs playing
Pass.
Faith. Okay. Acid King Middle of Nowhere Center of Everywhere.
Pass.
All right. America Live from the Hollywood Bowl.
Hard pass.
Amorphis My Cantele.
Pass.
Apocalyptica Worlds Collide Deluxe Edition.
Oh, big pass.
Oh, no Apocalyptica love, huh?
No Apocalyptica.
I know
Sorry,
this is
I love the idea, but I don't like the.
execution. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, it's kind of like an Andy Kaufman show where he reads The Great Gatsby. It's a great idea as long as you're not at the show.
Yikes. Asking Alexandria, Reckless and
Wow,
Relentless.
pass.
At the Drive-In.
I would have considered Alaska.
Okay. You're thinking of Between the Buried and Me. Anyway.
There is an album by Asking Alexandria. I don't remember what it was. It's not that one.
They have a good one. They have one good one. It's true. At the Drive-In in Casino Out.
Pass.
At the Gates, Slaughter of the Soul.
Ooh,
it's
smash.
been it's been reissued before. I have it, well, a copy of it, but
I
I
don't
could
have it, and At the Gates is great.
they are just I know none of these are a smash for you, but the Record Store Day does these little Record Store Day tiny 3-inch records on record players.
So stupid.
Beatles, 4 singles, 3-inch singles. Anyway.
And you got to buy the stupid 3-inch record player.
And you have to buy the stupid 3-inch record player. And very underrated band. I'm not sure how much this is worth it. Black Breath, box set exclusive, 5 LPs or cassettes.
Black Breath. I have one of their records.
I don't know if a 5 LP set and how much that's going to be, but like it's tempting.
Okay, 5 LP set on Record Store Day is always a pass.
Fair enough. Black Crowes, Wanting and Waiting single, 7-inch vinyl.
Hard pass.
Hard pass. Blur, Park Life, 30th anniversary. The Body Snatchers, not Body Snatcher, the hardcore band, but The Body Snatchers.
Pass.
Also, the hardcore band Body Snatcher, Vile Conduct.
That's funny. Pass.
That's a buy for me. Some rap. Boogie Down Productions, Edutainment, never been on vinyl. Get On Down. 2 LP.
I'm not familiar, so I got to pass.
It's KRS-One. It's my favorite rapper ever.
Oh, KRS-One. MC yeah. Lars, big fan.
Friend of the show, MC Lars. We're going to get MC Lars, I bet you. Mark Bolan and T-Rex Zinc Alloy, 50th anniversary.
Not the one. If it were Electric Warrior, it'd be a hard smash. But fair enough. As it is, pass.
Fair enough. Just checking to see if we've got a check-in yet from Omarius. Not sure if he's making it, but all right. The Bottle Rockets, The Brooklyn Side, 30th anniversary. Yes. How is that record 30 years old? David Bowie, Waiting in the Sky. I think this is some Ziggy Stardust outtakes.
No, I don't buy outtakes to begin with.
Fair enough. Billy Bragg, Bloke on Bloke Cooking. Oh, Cooking Pass. Vinyl's a label. Pass. Jeff Buckley and Gary Lewis, Songs to No One.
Is it a smash if I bought it for my child because she was with me?
Could be.
Then that's a smash.
Here's one I think you will want. Buena Vista Social Club, self-titled.
I don't know them.
What?
I'm sorry. I don't know everybody.
Okay. I'm shocked. World Music.
I have 1,200 records. Is that... there's a pretty good breadth. I'm sorry that I don't know everyone.
I'm a little surprised. Kate Bush, Eat the Music. 10-inch.
Pass. We just bought a Kate Bush record, actually.
Fair enough. Captain Beefheart, The Spotlight Kid.
Pass. I can get Captain Beefheart records all day long for like $4.
Yeah. At Record Exchange. Eric Carr from Kiss, Unfinished Business, the deluxe
edition. That's a smash for me, but only if I come across it. If I don't find it on Record Store Day, that's going to go to Kiss Flippers and fuck those guys.
Well, just to let you know, you can now get... If you don't want to participate in the typical Record Store Day experience, which we will talk about more as we get closer to it, they do now have the Record Store Day Exchange, where you could go into the exchange and find the record stores that have the thing you want and ship it to you. Just saying.
That's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. Cheech and Chong, Up in Smoke. Why? Why? Who asked for this? Who needs
Smash.
This? Yeah, I know, but who needs it?
Me. I don't have it.
All right. De La Soul Live at Tramps 1996.
Pass.
Tramps, where I saw many concerts. I wish I had seen them. Dead Milkmen, Bucky Fellini.
Pass.
Def Leppard, I don't know why they keep doing this. One Night Only, Live at the Lead Mill, 2023.
Not just a pass, but Break It.
Brutal. Dio, for the 19th Record Store Day in a row. The Last in Live, 40 years of Last in Live, BMG 12-inch picture disc.
Oh, God, no.
Fuck no, right? All right.
Picture disc, fuck that noise.
We're going to... Omar's in the chat, ready to come in, so we're just going to blast through the rest of these. The Doors, live at the Konserthuset, Stockholm. I can't pronounce words. Live, 1968 box set.
68, pass.
Dr. John, Gris Gris Gumbo, the singles.
Dr. John, again, all day long, $4.
Right. Emerson, Lake & Palmer, Pictures and Exhibition, picture disc. Why?
Nobody asked for that.
This next one's a buy for me. Enslaved, Vikingler Veldi. That's their original demo. I'm buying that.
Oh, pass.
Oh, no.
I don't buy demos.
Crossover Thrashers XL, closely related to Suicidal Tendencies, Seeking Refuge. Not their best record, but a good record. That's a buy for me.
I'm a very, very minor crossover fan.
Fair. Fleetwood Mac Rumors Picture Disc.
Hard pass.
Ace Frehley 10,000 Volts Picture Disc.
Hard pass.
Grateful Dead Box Set. Hard another pass. One. Thank you.
Throw it away.
Grohl, Benante, and Ian. That's that GBI hardcore supergroup of metal guys, Foo Fighters and Anthrax. The Regulator MRI 7-inch vinyl.
Hard pass.
That's a hard buy for me.
7-inch. No. Make a record.
This is fascinating. Vince Guaraldi, it was a short summer Charlie Brown because they have reissued the Charlie Brown Summer Camp animated TV special, and now the soundtrack is coming out for the first time ever.
Yeah, no. No, thank you.
Oh, no. Vince Guaraldi. George Harrison, 2 reissues, not sure why, Electronic Pass. Sound and Wonderwall.
Again, can get those at Vintage. I can get those at Record Exchange all day long.
Yeah, these are picture discs, also don't want them. His Infernal Majesties, him, Bury Me Deep Inside Your Heart.
Pass.
Horse the Band and Natural Death.
Pass.
Do-do-do-do-do. Iggy and the Stooges live at Luxor Key Fairston.
Pricing is pricing dependent.
Yeah, one single EP, LP. Dirgish Birgi, Dirgi Birgi. In this Misha? Moment, in this moment, Star-Crossed Wasteland.
Pass.
Elton John, Caribou 50th Anniversary 2 LP.
Pass.
Fascinating pick right here. Jucifer, Calling All Cars on the Vegas Strip. Maybe.
I don't know.
All right. Lordy, Bend Over and Pray to the Lord, 2 LP.
Pass.
Meat Puppets, Live in Montana.
Nah, it's going to be too... I would be interested, but it's going to be record store day pricing, which will price me out of it. So
possibly. Here's some blues for you. Memphis Slim, Sonny Boy Williamson, and Matt Murphy reissued 1963 Blues Festival concert.
I'm sorry, is that Matt Guitar Murphy?
Yes.
Ooh.
Memphis Slim, Sonny Boy Williamson, and Matt Guitar Murphy.
That's... Wow. Yeah, that's a smash.
That's a smash, right? I think even I might buy it. I'm just letting the Omar know.
Love me some old school blues.
If you're a fan of Taco Bell and punk rock and Taco Bell commercials, Military Gun Life Under the Sun Pass. EP. a record Omar would buy if he bought records. The Monkees, the Birds, the Bees, and the Monkees.
Again, Park you can this. Get Monkees $5 all day long. Why?
Soundtrack shite. Ennio Morricone, Orca, the music from the motion picture LP.
I have all the Enrico Morricone song I need on all my Metallica Live albums.
Ecstasy of Gold. Also, Story de Vita del Malvita.
Pass.
Also pass, yep. Motley Crue Supersonic Demonic Relics. I don't know what this is, picture disc. Get out of here.
You know what it's not? It's not the self-titled.
That's right. Here's another one. Every record store day, Motorhead seems to have a release no one asked for. I love Motorhead to death, but Remorse? No! Sanctuary Records 2 LP. This is like demos and assorted crap. Nope, nope.
Pass. Nope.
Mr. Big, The Big Finish, Pass. Lean Into It Live. Mudhoney, Suck You Dry box set, 5 LPs.
That's a good thing. I'm just not a Mudhoney guy.
Another Nas LP for Record Store Day, Remixes Pass. And Rarities, Illmatic. I bought the one last year. It was written, don't need
I
it.
I completely missed hip-hop from, like, 1996 to, like, 2010, except for Nelly. So,
okay,
sorry.
Fair enough. Willie Nelson and Friends, Willie Nelson, live at 90 years old last year, concert.
Pass. Seeing him this year, though.
Fair enough. Offspring, Splinter, 20th anniversary.
Ugh.
Nope. A lot of Paramore records, don't need them. David Byrne and Paramore, why? There's some very cool jazz stuff, but I'm
Who
skipping
asked
it.
For that?
Alan Parsons Project Pyramid Work in Progress.
Pass.
Pearl Jam's one version of their brand new album is coming out on Record Store Day, Dark Matter.
Pass.
A band that has previously been interviewed twice by Ghost Cult, Pigs, live at the KEXP Missing Piece Records.
That's a pass for me just because I don't know it.
Oh, good band, though. Pixies Live from Red Rocks, 2005.
I would have interest. However, Record Store Day pricing is going to be more than I'd be willing to pay for it.
Fair enough. Yet another Ramones record, the 1975 Sire demos.
Ugh. How can that be any different than what they put down?
Yep. Rolling Stones, no. Mm-mm. Todd Rundgren, fuck no.
Mm-mm.
Schoolie D, Saturday Night, the album.
Oh, God, hard smash.
Yeah, right? Also, Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson, Winter in America, first time on vinyl in a long time. Not ever, but I might have to.
Just for the record, when Schoolie D went into the studio to record the Aqua Teen Hunger Force soundtrack, he hadn't written it yet. When the red light went on, he didn't have it yet.
All right. Just finishing this up really quick. You've been very patient. Screaming Trees, Strange Things Happening, demos.
Hard no.
I love the band, but maybe no. Seven Dust, Heavier Than Seven is a compilation. No. Susie and the Banshees Nocturne, nope. Maybe. Sisters of Mercy, Body and Soul,
nope.
With Walk Away. Sleater-Kinney.
You like the Alterna goth stuff more than I do.
Much more, yes. We're going to do some one band soon, promise. Sleater-Kinney, this time here today.
Letterkenny?
Sleater-Kinney, not Letterkenny.
How are you now? Good, and you?
Stop it.
No.
That's a no for you. A band that I will be checking soon is putting yet another Record Store Day record out. The Slits.
Dio?
The Slits. Phenomenal ska punk band from the 70s and 80s. The Beginning. It's a maybe for me. Probably going to get that one. Last few. Slum Village, Detroit Deli. Slum Village, good hip hop band. No. Yeah, you might like them. Soft Cell is a no for you.
Wait, what's Soft Cell?
Nonstop Exotic Cabaret.
Oh, Hella Smash.
Oh,
well, okay. No. That's a $5 record. Why am I going to give you 40?
Exactly. Sonic Youth Hits Are for Squares. No.
No.
Sponge Planet Girls, no. Lost Album. No, even though I love the singer. Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros. This album is 25 years old. Rock, Art, and the X.
Joe Strummer belongs in the Clash and nowhere else. I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
I got a couple Clash records.
Ted, Infrared Riding Hood. Great album. Not sure I want it on vinyl, though.
Would be interested, but again, I feel like that's just going to be one of those. $25, I see it. Yeah, I buy it. But Record Store Day, not going to be that.
Corey Taylor, Outtakes and Demos, who gives a shit?
Nope.
Team Sleep, I'm probably going to buy this. It's a side project from Chino of Deftones. Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Live in France, 66.
Ooh, that could be
curious.
Interesting. Curious. Thin
Lizzy, Live at Hammersmith, 76. Maybe.
Nope. I got the Live and Dangerous. I'm good.
My Life with a Thrill Kill called Cooler Than Jesus.
That's a no for me, dog.
And Frank Turner, Girl from a Record Shop, 7-inch. No, even though I love him. Ultravox Stephen Wilson remixes. Ugh.
No.
No, even though I love Stephen Wilson. And finally, Zappa for President, Frank Zappa 2LP reissue.
Hard no. And before we bring in our guest this week, one thing I wanted to point out, since School ED comes up and it reminds me of Oxygen Hunger Force, as we have discussed earlier in this year, I am seeing Foreigner for the I've lost count how many times. And every time I go see Foreigner with Lawyer Wife, I say I am going to buy a shirt with Carl Bertanananuski from Oxygen Hunger Force wearing the Foreigner belt. I still have not found it, but I need to make this happen. So if anybody can find it, great.
All right, and let's bring in our guest.
All right, go ahead. And we are joined by a mahogany god, a man with ropes for hair that bring me to my knees. Of course, I am talking about Omar Corduroy Pants, my love rival for Keefe. How are we doing today, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Nice to be here for the first time.
Did you just call me Matt?
No.
Are you sure? I heard Matt.
I said I'm happy to be here.
It's very rude not to call somebody by their proper name.
Whatever, dude.
Did anybody get the joke? Is it just me? Because, I mean, that was a joke.
I got the joke, yeah.
Okay.
It's like the Sister Wives edition, except without Duncan.
We should have brought him. You know what? Somebody call him. Get his ass up. It's only 3:30 in England.
He's got a baby. I wouldn't be trying to call him unless his house is on fire.
The kid's not a baby anymore. It's a toddler now.
Really? Okay.
There's a big difference, bro. There's a big difference.
Yeah, toddlers are way worse.
Shit, if I know.
I know.
Been there, done that.
Anyway, so, Keefe, explain who Barbados Slim here is.
Barbados Slim. For anybody that watches the show and has heard the numerous references to Omar Cutthis, this is Omar Cordy, the co-owner of GhostCultMag.com with me, known for 26 years, Jesus Christ, and...
Superstar,
metal drummer, dad, tech whiz, and chief of everything, spinner of many plates. I don't know, I'm not as good as glowing up as you are, Nicholas. I think that's fair enough, right? Is that anything else? I leave something out?
No, everything sounds pretty. I accept it all. Can I say happy birthday?
Rick Derris is an arch coxman. Anyway, happy post birthday, Omar's birthday was St. Patrick's Day.
It only weighs 3.2 pounds.
Right. Yeah, anywho, that's about it. Omar, by the way, is, not sure he's a big vinyl person, but he is a huge consumer of music. We met each other playing gigs together and going to many shows together in New York City. And Omar, we brought Omar on for this because Omar's first Slayer record was Divine Intervention, just based on age and gauge. And he loves that album and he loves Slayer. And I feel like he's a very good authority on talking about the Slayer comeback and as we
that
wrap
was my
up the,
first Slayer record contemporarily.
Yeah, like talking about the Slayer end of our series, I thought it would be good to just bring in, shoehorn in a guest, so we did.
So we're not doing Diabolus and Musica then?
Unless it was up to you. You said no, I wanted to, but also
that's
I also...
That's a good record. That's
I love record that record. Too, man. No, I need to save that record for Duncan. Okay. I got to make Duncan do that one.
I also listened to God Hates Us All today because I hate myself. And
you
I
know
like
what? I had that record on vinyl, and it's like 12 in the morning. I'm at my old place where the sitting room's next to the bedroom, and I'm listening to it, and it's quiet, and I'm like, this sucks. This is just awful.
Interesting.
And I will explain that as we go forward. But
I think the later albums, I think the later albums without Jeff are really not good. And God Hates Us All.
No, it's no Dave.
Repentless, yeah. Well, I was saying, like, yeah, post-day, it's not until, I don't want to blame Paul, and that's why Omar is partly here, to not blame Paul for things. But, like, because I meet people, it's like, Paul just sucks, he's not Dave. It's like, that's unfair. But we'll get into it. I think, in hindsight, Divine Intervention and God Hates Us All are much better than they were received at the time.
Yes.
And Diabolus and Musica is worse than it was.
No, it's
retrospectively.
Better. But these albums are only good when they're really loud.
That's also true. This could be a thing with Slayer. It just needs to be played
No,
loud.
I can listen to the earlier records at a reasonable volume where my family's not knocking on the door saying, finish your beer, go to bed. This is really loud. God Hates Us All has got to be, it's got to be pounding you in the eardrums or it sucks. That is just all there is to it. If you listen to it at a normal listening volume, you hear how deficient it is. And with that, let us move forward. Instead of us round tabling each other, we're going to catch hands real quick if we keep this up. Cyber hands, of course, because we're in three different time zones. But right now, we're going to get back to the year 1994. I have one of my very first steady girlfriends. Her name is Karen. I regret everything about that part of time in my life, except when I went to Sam Goody Music and bought Slayer's Divine Intervention. 1994. We are in the back nine of the first Clinton administration. We are 4 years away from the first presidential impeachment of my life. Now it's been, what, I think 13. And America is still respectable at this point. We have not gotten completely embarrassing and off the rails yet. America goes straight up Amtrak at about 2002, I think. So we still got about 10 years of being able to hold our heads high for this country. We are not getting the serious conservative backlash for anything. We are getting great music. Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, Testament, they are all going strong. We are in this wonderful thrash revival. Pantera has just dropped Far Beyond Driven, which is still their most diverse record to date. I guess to date, that's not really fair because they stopped making records a minute ago. But it's a great time for metal, even if metal's not really selling. We are 3 years from Ozfest and 4 years from my first time seeing Slayer in the 1998 Ozfest, where I got 35 minutes of Slayer, which is a great number of minutes for Slayer because they hit you and they go and you want more. It's not like when I saw them last time and they played for 2.5 hours and you're like, that's a bit much. It's like, what's his name? The Boss. What's that guy's name? Bruce Springsteen. It's like a Bruce Springsteen. It's not like a Bruce Springsteen concert where it's really long, not that great, but wow, what energy. And so Slayer has their very first personnel crisis. One of the things we discussed in the beginning of this series is how for the first 10 years of Slayer, it wasn't like Poison or Def Leppard or, God forbid, Iron Maiden, which parted dudes out like they were playing poker with people. they had four guys that got together in some wacky ass suburb of Los Angeles. I'm sorry, I don't know which one. There's 406. We all know that. It might have been Orange County, might have been Los Angeles. I don't even know. Whatever county they were in. And then we get to 1994, and it's announced that Dave Lombardo was no longer with the band. Dave Lombardo exits Slayer after arguably Slayer's best record. It may not be your favorite, but it's their best.
According to the book, by the way, the DX Ferris book, he quit at the end of 92, and they went through a period of time with where they didn't really announce the drummer, but they knew it was going to be Paul. Because Exodus, Paul was with Exodus, and they went kind of, they were going under.
I can remember when, oh God, you I lost it.
Good. Pick it
I
have up. To
pump. Okay. I did see Forbidden not long after this, and they complained about having lost their drummer. I wonder why. They were playing an old movie theater with Malevolent Creation and local openers while Slayer's playing their big deals. But Seasons in the Abyss may not be your favorite Slayer record, but it is the best Slayer record. It's a lot like, in my humble opinion, comparing Pink Floyd The Wall versus Dark Side of the Moon. Dark Side of the Moon might be your favorite, but The Wall is the best.
Hard
I said
disagree.
What I said. Thought?
Hard disagree. I don't think Omar cares and has a choice, but I disagree completely. By the way, yeah, like, so they didn't really announce Paul until kind of late in the PR cycle. Like, you know, we're still pre-internet here. We just some people start to have email in 94, right?
So I mean, can you picture that for a second? You know, when you think about Metallica now or whatever, anybody now, you know, Iron Maiden teases their recording Senjutsu by showing a picture of Eddie in front of a recording device and on Twitter. And we're all like, ooh, is that a record? And then there are 457,000. Fix it, Omar. Fix it, Omar. Fix it. Don't cut it. Splice it. Splice it.
Splice it, Omar.
So we're talking about an era. Yes, where Keith, you pointed that out wonderfully. You know, Iron Maiden puts out that photo of Eddie and they're like, oh my God, are they recording? And there's 457,000 articles about it. You know, a musician puts out a tweet and all of a sudden, Louder Sound, Classic Rock, Harder Than Hell, they're all putting out articles based on a tweet. In 1994, if you were trying to get heavy metal news, you had a couple of places. You had Headbangers Ball, which had just died. You had Hit Parader. Oh, I'm sorry. That had just died. You had Rolling Stone for the top 1% of the 1% of heavy metal. And you had this little bitty teeny tiny magazine that I don't recall where I used to get it, but it was like a 10, it was like a 7-inch. Like if a Rolling Stone was a 12-inch size record, this was like a 7-inch. It was this little bitty thing. And I remember them talking about that. And there was an interview. Although no, Tom Araya was on Super Rock, which I'm sure no one remembers Super Rock. I know Keefe does because we've talked about it. Super Rock is the greatest show of all time. It had a really hot lady host who really knew her metal. And they did metal and they did hip hop. It lasted 3 weeks. And Tom Araya was one of the few people that were interviewed on that show. And I remember the discussion being along the lines of, we're not here to slag on Dave, but all the problems we ever had in this band were here when Dave was here. And now we don't have those problems.
I do want to say, I know I read a couple of Slayer books, and again, just citing this out, I've been listening to the DX Ferris Slayer podcast, and it reminded me of a thing in the book that I had kind of like learned and forgot, which is, Omar doesn't know this, Nick and I have been talking about like the songwriting credits, and like, why did Dave Lombardo never get one writing credit in Slayer, and do you know why that is? Because Jeff Hanneman plays drums, and not only does Jeff Hanneman play drums, he played the demo drums on every single song he ever wrote. And since we already know that Jeff is the writer of most of the great Slayer songs, including the da 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 na 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 na, that drum part is attributed to Jeff, not Lombardo.
Oh, that sucks.
It sucks so bad. I never knew this. I know. I've loved Slayer. I've saw Slayer the most times until their retirement.
But Jeff couldn't play it like
no. Like, of course not.
I'm just going to throw this out there real quickly, and then unless Omar has something he needs to get off his chest, we'll go to track by track. I never saw Slayer with Dave Lombardo.
Wow.
Once Jeff, no Dave.
I've seen Slayer with Lombardo, John Deddy, and Paul Bellstaff. Wow. The first time I saw him was Undisputed Attitude, and that's when that was the first tour they played. No, it's fine, man. I got Gemini out of that album, so I can't hate that record.
All right.
Just listen to Gemini. Gemini's great.
Gemini is.
You do you, and I'll do me, and I think about you when I do me.
Yeah. And I will say, before Divine Intervention came out, Paul's first appearance on a Slayer track was the Exploited cover on the Judgment Night soundtrack with Ice-T, Disorder.
Wait a minute. I have that soundtrack. I didn't realize Paul was on that.
Yeah, I asked Paul, like, when I met him, like, a couple years back when they were playing, like, I think it was Ozzfest or something, because I was, like, so, like, obsessed with this record because that was my first Slayer record, and, like, the snare drum just sounds like a bat being hit every time. And I asked him about that album, and, like, what was his first song he recorded? And he said it was this song, Disorder.
All right, then. Alrighty, with that, let us now look into, let's get in the Wayback Machine back to 1994, back to when Slayer changes it all up.
A young Slayer.
Not really. A young old, I mean old young Slayer, or young old Slayer, middle-aged Slayer, we're middle-aged.
By the way, yet another record with Rick Rubin, still going to the well.
Rick Rubin is a producer savant. I mean, he's a nut bar, but...
And a growing co-produced production credit for Slayer. And Toby Wright, best known for his work with Alice in Chains and other bands.
And his best known work, I believe, is the Lost Kiss record, Carnival of Souls.
Oh,
which me and like 15 other dudes really dig.
Hey, it's no Psycho Circus, but you know.
No, them's fighting words. It's way better than Psycho Circus and nearly as honest. Anyway, so
I think the Toby connection is with Tom Araya because they were doing the Titans, was the Clash of the Titans tour, and Tom Araya is on an Alice in Chains song doing backing vocals.
Yes. It's like a throwaway track on Dirt, and Toby recorded Tom in it.
All those tracks are throwaway.
You stop it! You shut your whore mouth in my presence.
Wow.
No one disparages John Bonham or Alice in Chains in my presence ever. I'm looking right in the camera. Never ever.
Okay, I'm just gonna say this: one of the worst concerts I ever saw. Alice in Chains.
Drugs are a terrible thing.
No, I was a teetotaler then.
Talking about them, not you.
Oh, well, yeah, that is true. Okay, fair enough. Lane and Jerry were the worst parts. Unfortunately, the rhythm section, which is my least favorite part of a band, were great. Anywho, so yes, we still have...
Funny that the two co-hosts today are the rhythm section of a band. Anyway, continue.
Shall I get my guitar and play some lead? I mean, I will.
You shouldn't.
I will not. That was actually a bluff.
I'll plug in my electric kit to this computer and we'll do a thing. Let's go.
Yeah, let's not do that. Anyway, moving forward, Divine Intervention. If you noticed me making reference to carving Slayer into your arms, that is the inside cover of this record. This is also probably my favorite Slayer cover. It makes no fucking sense because it's got like some alien bullshit on it with like, and then, like, it's got, like, a skeleton that's, like, presenting himself from the butt side. Over, then it turns into a nose, so the butt goes into the nose. And when he expires, because he became a skeleton, the ook goes from his butt into the nose. So we know what killed the alien. Wow, I'm digging deep into this. Anyway, moving forward.
It's also a pentagram.
Yeah, it's the Slayer pentagram with a skeleton presenting its butthole over a nose.
Right. They were definitely, like, obviously no Dave, but they went back to Rick, and they used Wes Benscotter, who was mostly known for death metal stuff, to reimagine the Slayer pentagram. That's what that is. It's weird to me that they didn't just make a clean break and completely do everything different, but I guess maybe they were scared.
Oh, you mean like straight up St. Anger stuff?
Too soon for that. Yeah. Slayer of St. Anger is not this. Go ahead.
No, they don't have one.
They might.
Wait, no, they do. It's World Painted Blood.
Oh, I like that record.
That album sucks ass.
Christ Illusion is the worst one. For sure.
Yeah, I'll go Christ Illusion. I'm gonna have to go Christ Illusion.
Almost, you know what? I actually it's almost completely, a terrible record.
No, it is. I had actually that completely cult erased.
Song, is that right?
I had completely erased Christ Illusion from my memory.
Like Lisa Simpson on mute. I wish you had heard it.
I remember listening to that and thinking, "Wow, you did South of Heaven again, but you're old and this is awful. I hate you." Moving forward.
We know what's the worst. We'll do the, maybe we'll, if there's time, we'll do the tier ranking later. Let's blast through this. Go.
All right. Killing Field. You want to talk about a little bit of awkward Slayer? Here we got it. We have Paul Bostaph, who is a traditional thrash drummer. So you want blast beats? You got them. You want dynamics? Maybe not. But everything else is pretty good.
You're off your chain, my friend. Killing Fields, that first track with that triplet like intro, that thing was just like, what the hell am I listening to? Because this was like, I was like, what, like 14, 15? I don't even remember when this first came out. And I got it in high school, like, because my friends were talking about them. And I was like, hey, check out Slayer. And I was like, checked it out. And that track just blew me away. I was like, wow, I don't know what he's doing. But at the time, that was like the most intricate like piece of music I've ever heard.
I think you misunderstand. I like the song. I really enjoy it. It's just, it's an awkward feeling with Paul Bostaph on the drums. He doesn't know how to Slayer yet.
If you're a Lombardo, if you're coming from the Lombardo camp, I'm not coming from the Lombardo camp. So like your feelings towards Bostaph for me are reversed. Like I like Paul, I like Paul's he's not as loose as Dave. He's more like just militant and like he's more tight and Dave is more loose. So when I hear
true.
The reverse, when I hear him play like Dave songs, like that's how it sounds to me. But when I heard Dave play his own songs and some of these songs later on in the years, it sounded weird. Like I like the early records. I like Rain of Blood and, you know, Black Magic and everything else. I like all the old stuff too. But for me, like this was my introduction. So this record and what was the next one? Like
Nostalgia is a hell of a drug.
I'm totally the same way.
You have it now though. Same way for me. For me, my first record was Black Sabbath Live Evil. And to this day, live albums are the best. And Dio is greater than Ozzy. I said what I said.
All right.
Whatever. I'll just add that Slayer loves songs about war. This is another song about war. Great lyrics by Tom. Tom is really, you know, we talked about on Seasons. Tom has really come into his own as a lyricist. All music by Kerry for the rarely Kerry dominating side one of this record, but Jeff certainly dominated side two.
Might be Kerry's best song musically.
The song, really? Okay, yeah. All right.
Moving on to track two, Sex, Murder, Art. We are punkier. We are more depraved. I don't need this one, quite frankly.
Omar?
I am trying to remember that one, Sex, Murder, Art. I know it's fast. It's the shortest song on the record. I know that. They just get right through it with that one. And I think it just goes. It's like, I guess this whole record didn't really have time to like, oh shit, I got a new drummer. All right, well, you kind of have to just, not out Lombardo, but you just kind of have to just keep, you got no time to slow down with these first couple of tracks. And I think it's like, here, I can play really fast, I can play really tight. Not so much dynamics on this song, but it's just straightforward, like punky. Like you kind of think that this would be a Jeff song, because it's kind of more punky, but surprise, motherfucker. It's Kerry.
Don't cuss on this show.
Everybody cusses. We cuss all the time. I cuss right at the beginning.
Just because it's beer, metal, and swearing doesn't mean we do any of those things.
We did try for a while not to swear, and that failed epically. I think Sex, Murder, Art's a decent song. I second everything Omar said about the speed and the punkiness, and they didn't really write around, nor would they, but they didn't really write around Paul at all. They just kind of, here, we're making these songs and you play to them. Instead of, I still feel like somewhere in the past 50 years, 40 years, they, hey, Lombardo, here's this song. And he, how did he not put his own stamp on it? And how did they not give him credit?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You said earlier that Jeff writes the drums.
He writes the drums to his songs. He writes demos for every, complete demos for every song he makes.
Right. Look, I prefer Bostoff Slayer to Lombardo Slayer. That's Nick. Not anything past the first two. But you, based on what I'm hearing from Bostoff doing versus what I heard from Lombardo doing last week, we're not, you know, to quote the greatest philosopher of all time, Jules, it ain't the same league, it ain't the same ballpark, it ain't the same league, it ain't the same fucking sport. And you're going to tell me that Jeff wrote all that shit and then Dave just did what he... No. Moving on to track three, Fictional Reality. Now we have Kerry King's Finest Hour in Slayer. This is a great song. He writes esoteric lyrics. It's a little bit metaphorical. He's not just singing what he feels, because you can't make your sing, you can't make your characters sing what they're feeling, because that makes me feel angry. That's from Futurama. And totally love this song. Everybody brings it in. It feels like this was recorded like in order. Like, here's the first song they brought to Paul. Here's the second song they brought to Paul. Here's the third song. Each song, we get better and better Paul Bostoff. And I love Paul Bostoff, so I'm not ragging on him. But when you have an established band and brand and sound, and you bring in somebody who's completely different, it's not like when Vivian Campbell replaced the late Steve Clark. Vivian Campbell can play all those things. Paul Bostoff cannot play like Dave Lombardo, and vice versa. Nothing wrong with that. It's like Peter Criss and Eric Carr. Different drummers, different vibes, different everything. So when I say it's awkward, that's what I mean. It just, it feels, and that's one of the things I love about this record, is I love that awkwardness. I love that Amtrak-y, are they going to get through it kind of song, kind of feeling. And Fictional Reality really sums that up for me, and I dig this track.
Yeah, there was some really good guitar like work and like some little drum break around like the 2 minutes in, where the two dueling solos are just like squealing back and forth. It was like, oh man. And like Paul just keeping it on the ride, just keeping it simple, and they're just, it just sounds so, yeah, that song's just cool, man.
And on the next record, when they get to Diabolus and Musica, he really knows how to work that Slayer ride, which he doesn't know how to work it yet, but he gets it on the next record. And that's a big part of why that record is so great. Said what I said.
Here's what I will say about Fictional Reality. The only problem with Divine Intervention, which has very few problems, is it came out at the same time as like Far Beyond Driven and a bunch of other previously aforementioned records that are amazing, and it had the misfortune of arriving at the same time as these other great records. COC Deliverance, also, I listened to nonstop that year. So, you know, Fictional Reality, excellent song. Can't find faults with it. Probably some of the best guitar stuff on the whole record. Is it my favorite song on the record? No, but it's excellent.
Moving on into Dittohead, this is their Rush Limbaugh song. I would also point out that it's kind of anti-constitutional. You know, as we learned in the episode of King of the Hill, when Strickland Propane's mistress was murdered, you know, he's probably going to get off on some pothead technicality. Well, Bobby, that's the Bill of Rights. So this is a very anti-Bill of Rights song. In 1994, I am 19 and a fucking moron. 19-year-old dudes don't realize how stupid they are, but they think they do. They absolutely have this maturity and this belief that, you know, oh, no, I don't believe, you know, I'm not right all the time, but I'm right now. And That's Dittohead lyrically speaking. Not always right, but I'm right this time. Anywho, moving forward, apart from the lyrics, which are terrible, I remember I'm up at 2:37 in the morning and MTV plays this and I'm like, what the fudge? Wait a minute, what the hell was that? And it's only 2 minutes and 14 seconds long, basically. I'm sorry, 2:30. It's 2 minutes and 30 seconds long. And it's like, wait, is that, I mean, you know, at 2:30 in the morning, I had worked all night and I'm like, I'm really tired. Was that, what? Was that Slayer? And then it was over. And so maybe I dreamed it. I don't know. I might not have actually seen it, but I think it happened.
That's the best part about Dittohead. Like, you want it to be longer, but it's like, ah, like, nope, this is all you get. Just this little splash. And it's like, wait, again. Because, like, the nothing to regret part where it goes from, like, single kick, and then he just starts hitting that double kick, and then go to that stop. Da-da-da-da-da. I was like, ooh, it just, that's, like, one of the best, like, yeah, like, at the time, I was like, this was, like, I came from Megadeth. So, like, my first band was Megadeth, then it was, like, Faith No More and Primus, and then, like, got into this, and I was like, man, I have not heard anything like this. This kind of, like, aggression at that time. And, man, that was... And that video was cool, man. That was...
I think it was. I don't remember. I remember it being dark.
It's a cool video now. It's, like, it's just all kind of, like, dated just because of quality. But it's funny to see, like, oh, it's a goatee... Kerry King. This is where Kerry was first born, the Baldy.
Yeah, the beginning of the Baldy. Scott had already done it in Anthrax. I'm going to say two things. The shortest songs on this record seem to be the best ones, the last one notwithstanding. And definitely for that video, there's definitely whoever the video director was, probably Wayne Isham or some 90s guy like that. Definitely saw the Guns N' Roses, also Wayne Isham directed video for the Garden of Eden, where the band is way up in the camera and there's a lot of stuff going on, because the shots of the band are like, there's a fire and it's burning and it's out of control. It's like right in your face, Guns N' Roses style. Like, I don't need Tom Araya's face this close to my face ever. But I also remember liking the video.
Alrighty, moving on into the title track, Divine Intervention. Slayer, defying their own convention, does not put the title track on the last track. And defying also Slayer convention, the title track's quite good. Seasons in the Abyss notwithstanding, and South of Heaven notwithstanding. I guess it's just that one, really. I'm sorry, Omar cut this.
They're all pretty good. Hell Awaits, Raid in Blood, like, which one is not good?
So, Show No Mercy.
Okay.
It's 8 minutes of awful. You know that's it. Fair. We talked about it.
Go ahead.
Anywho, Divine Intervention... Paul Bostaph does something that Dave Lombardo has never done. Got a writing credit. I did not realize that everyone wrote the lyrics for this track.
It's a team effort sometimes.
It's actually, and it's pretty good lyrics, if I'm being honest. Yeah. And, Jeff and Kerry write the riffs as they do. Great song, 10 of 10, no notes.
Yeah, the way... It's like the way it starts, it's like, all right, and that little break at the beginning where it's like before it gets into that kind of that little like hi-hatty kind of like syncopated kind of little like mellow beat, I guess, for Slayer, like, what the hell is this? And then like, okay, all right, but hey, it was all new to me, so I was like, this is, oh my god, look at these dynamics. So I guess you could say this, if you were like, oh, if you listen to Season in the Abyss, look at all the dynamics and stuff we're doing over here in South of Heaven. I was like, I guess this is their, you could say this is kind of like almost their response to that. Because it's the most musically varied song on the record, you know. It's like, it's got, all right, look, hey, we're not showing off, but we're showing off.
Fair enough. I will say, yeah, great song. And I wonder why this song didn't get isn't still in the set list, or why they stopped playing. Like, I don't know that they ever played it much, but why didn't they?
What do they play for? I mean, I don't remember ever seeing anything from this album in their set list. And I tell them after this.
I've heard a lot in this set list.
Yeah, Ditto had Sex Maror and 2:13 were played for many years.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably not in the upcoming reunion shows.
Killing Fields. I've heard Killing Fields live. I've heard Sex, Murder, Art, Dittohead, with Paul and Dave Lombardo playing it, which is very different.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay, you know, maybe I just don't remember the set list, and I got to go back and check.
If you have the Slayer box set, you actually hear, like, there's a live version on the box set of Lombardo doing Ditto Head.
I don't have. I have Rain and Blood, and I have Seasons in the Abyss.
Oh, okay.
I only count what I have on vinyl at this point.
Fair. I will say there's also, like, another another God's Hates Us All. There's a God Hates Us All version of Lombardo.
And yeah, that was on the Still Raining DVD.
Yeah, it's so strikingly weird. Not weird, it's just like different. It's all right, two drummers, different approaches. I was like so parts I hear the crash cymbal on, like Paul, Dave's just like on the ride. I'm like, it doesn't have the same aggression to me. And I was like, hey, you're kind of, hey, you're taking it easy here.
They're very different drummers.
And it's really cool.
Also, Dave was probably like every single drum beat of a Slayer song he had to play live that he didn't write. He was probably like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Because he just hated them. He hated doing the songs he didn't write. He insisted when he came back in the band, I will do no songs I didn't write. And they were like, yeah, no, that's not going to work, bro.
I'm a big fan of legacy. Like, you know, it's like, hey, man, it's not you, it's the band. If the band's got 10 records and you're on three of them, cool. I owe it to the fans to play these other songs that I haven't heard. And that's, yeah. I'm big on that.
Oh, he didn't, Dave Lombardo did that with Testament too. He's like, yeah, I did two records with you. Let's play those on tour. There's about 200 other songs there, bro. You know, maybe let's play some Ritual. Let's play something off Low. I mean, Nick likes Low.
He did. I saw them for the Gathering record. And yeah, they as most said, it was a heavy Gathering album because, you know, set.
I am going to straight up listen to some Testament tomorrow. I have not listened to Testament in a minute. Anywho, moving on. Circle of Beliefs as a mid-90s pagan. I loved all songs that hit at the pomposity of the Christian religion. And I'm going to point out, Kerry King writes the riffs and the lyrics, and I love this song. So all of the shade I've been throwing at Mr. Baldo, I take it back. You were, it just took you, it took some time for your flower to bloom. By the time I got into the mid-90s, you know, a decade and a half in, you started bringing the goods. Thank you, Kerry.
I think it's a big combination of, you know, I just feel like, yeah, they all have something to prove with this record. And, damn, it's nice guitar work on this record, too, man. I was like, oh, like, Kerry's got some nice solos midway through the song, too. Or is it Jeff? I forget the order.
They all do. I mean, I'm pretty sure Paul Bostoff played a couple guitar solos in this record.
I'm not sure if this is whole record is tuned down a step. I think it is the first record they actually tuned down forever. And, I think that has to, it makes it feel meaner and more sinister somehow. And yeah, man, give Kerry his flowers. I think it's mean to say he never contributed. I just think Jeff's contribution is so gigantic, and then he died. So
it's
Jeff
like
is just
Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons, when he hits it, he hits it.
Barely.
But most of the time, well, hey, come on now.
When I hit it, it's under 18 years old.
Oh shit, son.
I saw you coming out of school that day.
Stop. I will mute you.
I think it was okay in the 70s. I don't know.
It was way more okay than it should have been. That is for damn sure. That was. I think back then it was just a fine, Jesus Christ, superstar. Anyway, moving on. SS-3. I have no fucking clue what this song is. I have no recollection of it. I have listened to this album at least 258 times. Squiffy.
I don't know.
Let's see if Keefe.
It's
kind of
slow. It's kinda...
Omar doesn't know it. Let Keefe talk.
Go ahead. I'll come back to it. Give me a second.
It's a mid-tempo-er. I think one thing is because of that aforementioned new guitar tone and new tuning, the record does kind of sound samey on the second.
Okay, hang on. Can anybody else hear that white noise, or is it just me?
I hear it.
It's gone.
Okay.
I always hear Nick's good beer fridge in the background, but also, I don't know. My backup hard drive is unplugged, so
and my clock.
Oh, could be.
My Falstaff. Oh, you can't see it in the video.
Can't really see
anymore.
It in the video, but yeah, it's the soft underbelly of the whole record. This one song.
Yeah, the one song is the soft underbelly.
It's that funky vocals on it.
Yeah, I don't care.
That kind of
you don't remember it. Nobody remembers this song.
I just remember got like the little echoey kind of like underwatery kind of vocal.
No, we're two songs away. That's the next song. You're thinking of the next song, which is the best song on the record, Serenity and Murder. I will say this. This is the song, in my humble opinion, this is just Nick talking. Carrie didn't tell me. Jeff didn't tell me. Nobody told me. But I think this is the song left off of Seasons in the Abyss. Serenity and Murder would have fit perfectly on Seasons in the Abyss. And it's the best song on the record. If you don't like this song, you don't like Slayer. Period.
Word. I was like, now this is the song that I was talking about. Like, it sounds like a baseball bat. Like, just like that snare drum. It just, the attack is just so brutal. It's like, ah. Oh. I was like, that's where it was. And I was like, this is, what is he doing?
I think this song is why they started saying metal was brutal. I think it's the first time anybody ever said it about a song was this one.
Yeah. And then I was like, this is the first time I heard Tom sing. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, wow, I didn't expect him to, you know, sing cleanly. And I was like, he's got a nice voice. You know, then I found out about Dead Skin Mask, yada, yada. But man, like, this was like, ooh, what's this? And it just kept the same groove. It wasn't, you know, he was one of the first guys, I guess, for me to, I could sing cleanly and I could also scream. So he's one of those dual vocally kind of guys of the time. So you could say he kind of beat a lot of those vocalists.
Yeah, he beat Fear Factory to the race. Fear Factory.
Same year.
Did he beat Return to Serenity?
Oh, no.
I don't know what that is.
Testament. But Chuck didn't become like a brutal singer until 96. He never sang death metal-y until Demonic. I will just chime in and say I agree. Serenity Murder, best song on the album. Another shorty, and so good they made it a maxi single or an EP thing. With some
and it's the right, it's the right kind of shorty, because you get that, it's that bipolar where it's, you know, it's very calm. It's the metaphor of the calm discussing what he's going to do. And then the orgasmic, angry release of what he has done. That is the perfect serial killer song. Leading into this serial killer song, which isn't as good. Again, great song. However, the energy of Serenity and Murder would have worked far better for 213, which is, of course, a song about Jeffrey Dahmer, who the year prior had pleaded guilty to murdering, torturing, eating, and attempting to zombify several lovers. He had a thing.
It kind of could be like a sonically, it's more in tune with like a, you could say it's more like a sequel-ish, like a part two to Divine Intervention, with the whole kind of atmosphere of that song. They kind of like A and B each other. It's like, oh no, or part one and part two each other.
Slayer loves to do that, but usually they do it like on different records. Like they did South of Heaven, which is a great song with dissonant chords, and it's this wonderful power ballad. Then on the next record, they did a power ballad with dissonant chords about killing things. That was called Dead Skin Mask. And on the next record, they do another power ballad with dissonant chords. This time it's called 213. So they, this is their iambic pentameter. This is the Slayer Summit,
I guess. Oh, go ahead, Omar.
I was saying that, like, it's a good headbanging song. It's like that nice slow headbang too. You know, like musically, like once the clean guitars like are over and it just starts kicking into like the riffs, and it's got some, again, Paul's just, I don't know. I think Paul just like crushed the whole record. It was like, it's like, hey, look, this is what Paul could do. We're just going to let him go nuts. It feels like they kind of just let him just do whatever he wanted to do. It's like they trusted him enough from Forbidden to, hey, this guy could do our stuff. All right, let's go.
I think 213, yeah, 213 is my second favorite song on the whole record. It's a very strong end to the record for me, and I like all the things Nick pointed out that are weak about the song. I love. So we're just going to agree to disagree here. I think maybe because I love Serial Killers and I was definitely following the Dahmer case, but I thought it was super cool. I think there's like a, I agree about the Slayer lineage.
I married a woman that did murder cases that told me about her murders.
You should not be talking about this on the podcast, but go ahead. Not. You bad Nick. Bad Nick. Anyway.
I don't think there's no HIPAA violations there.
Yeah, but no, we've had this discussion before.
She also practiced it. She practices in a different name, so it's fine.
Anywho. Nick, just trying to get us killed or banned or something. Last song.
That stalker guy's not going to come back.
Tee it up. Oh, Jesus. Famous last words.
He doesn't know where we live now. It's fine.
And hear now the news.
Excuse me. Keefe made me cough. I don't remember this song. Moving on.
Mind Control? You don't remember Mind Control?
Don't. I'm sorry. I don't remember it. I don't. And I listened to this today. I did listen.
I like Mind Control a lot. Just because like there's some beats in here like Keith, if you remember the one of my songs, Laceration Songs, 3, our closing track. Part of the there's a beat in here that Paul did that I like totally like ripped off to like I was like, oh this I know what would go here, perfect, this part from this song. So it's like, yeah, I like this song is just special to me because it's like, oh yeah, I remember that's like it inspired me to use a part of that for one of my own songs, and I thought it fit pretty well. And it's a strong song, but yeah, it's got a cool like, I guess it's kind of simple, kind of, you know, it's more of a simpler riff, but it's still a fun song, man. I really like the way that song was.
It's almost like Slayer made a Metallica song. They're like, hey, this last song, we're going to chill it out a little bit and tamp it down a bit. But like I said, half the record is written by Jeff, and it's all the second half of the record, basically, except Circle of Belief. So I like Mind Control. It's not a song that I always go back to compared to the other ones, but I don't think it's forgettable or bad.
I didn't say I didn't like it.
You just didn't.
I said I just don't remember. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't remember this song.
No worries.
It's fair. I mean, it ends with like, you know, like I don't say it's like he's doing the like, you know, it ends with his little double bass like just runs for like the final like riffs and stabs. He's just like, you know, it's cool. Like it's like that little like I'm just gonna just do double bass. Like, look, listen, everybody, here's some clean double bass. It's not Rain and Blood, but here's just some straight bank. Grab a symbol here.
What I would say about this album in general is it deserves two ratings. It's got the Slayer as a Slayer album, it's 8 out of 10. As a Slayer album with a new member, it's 10 out of 10. There's a couple of songs that get a little squiffy, not like awful, but it's kind of like Kiss is Hotter Than Hell, where it's got like Mainline and All the Way, and they're not offensively bad, but nobody needs those songs, and those songs are not required. And that's kind of for me. There's 2 out of 10 songs here that are not necessary. But if you take those out, it's a little bit too short, especially now that we are solidly into the CD era. Seasons in the Abyss was their first album in the CD, the legitimate CD era. And when we get into the CD era, an album goes from anywhere from 25 to 35 to 45 minutes to a minimum of 40. And we are still at only 36 minutes. 36 minutes, though, for me, is probably the right amount of Slayer for a record, because they're not real diverse. It gets punishing to listen to. So 8 out of 10 as a Slayer, 10 out of 10 as a new Slayer record.
Fair enough. I'm going to interject here and just jump in and say a quick thing, which is I'm going to ask a question to Omar that I have been holding on to. If, because like Paul, I feel like Paul is much maligned by Slayer fans, unfairly so. If Paul was replacing Lou Clementi, the original drummer of Testament who could not play double bass, people would have been shitting themselves with how great this performance is. But because he had to follow Lombardo, the myth, the man, the legend, and all that is deserved, I feel like Paul has never gotten his flowers as a member of Slayer all this time.
Completely agree on all of that.
But Omar, the drummer, like as a drummer, like he doesn't suck at all.
No, like Paul. Yeah. Paul is a beast, man. It's like he, you know, like I wasn't a big Forbidden fan. Like I knew of them, I didn't really know them. So it was like Paul was like, oh, the Slayer guy. So he's my guy. So like when he left Slayer, eventually, yeah, the record he did with Exodus was great. You know, it's like, I wish, you know, it's like he did one record with Testament, I think, like the later days. Cause I remember like during, you know, Homeboy's cancer, you know, phase, like they didn't really record much, but he was in the band during that whole time and he did a lot of touring. Unfortunately, not enough recording with that lineup, which was
Tom,
really awesome.
Tom quit Exodus at one point and Paul was the drummer, by the way.
Yeah. Like,
wait, what?
He did Shovelhead and Kill Machine.
There's two stints of Exodus's history where Tom quits the band completely, and Paul is the replacement.
Off as drummer?
Yes.
Yeah, the Shovelhead and Kill Machine record.
Wait,
the first
so
one
these
with,
two dudes have both in. So Lombardo and Bostoff have both been in Slayer and Exodus.
I don't think has
no Lombardo.
Been...
No,
he's in Exodus right now.
No, he's not. No, he was in.
Tom is back. No.
Lombardo's been in Slayer and Testament, and so has Paul.
Wait, did we say they Exodus?
Both... Yes, you did.
I apologize. I'm
sure.
But like, in... we made a good point about Exodus, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he did that Shovelhead to Kill Machine record, and then he went back to Slayer. Because, you know. But yeah, Paul, oh, man. Paul was, what else did Paul do? Shoot, I'm trying to remember the other Paul records. He did that Slayer record, the Testament record. Oh man, I want to hit up the. All I know is like, whatever, man. That's like, Paul, Jeff, God, too many.
Omar's not a big reviewer at Ghost Cult. But if you had to throw a grade on this, A, B, C, or D, or 1 out of 10 with no half marks, what would you give this? Where I guess Nick gave it an 8 of 10.
I don't know. I might average mine to a 9. I might go 9 or 10 because 9 or 10. This is my first record, so I had no comparing. So like, just go back to like, you know, teenage OJ. That was a record. I was like, no notes. No notes with this record for me, man. Like when I first heard it, this is a record I would play along to for months. You know, like this is one of those records that I didn't skip a track. I still don't skip a track on this record. It's just still like a great, it's still like, to me, it's like a great record, man. Like I can't skip it. You know, this, I like the sound of it. This, like the production of it, to me, like it just sounds, I don't know, I would say 90s, but it's had this like kind of dirty, it feels dirty. You know, it feels clean and dirty. Like, you know, the guitar tones are cleanish, but overall the mix just sounds like this cool, dirty, just. It seems very LA. I don't know if that's the right word. Like that video, like the video for Dittohead. Like that feels like that's how this record should sound.
I like that all the bands were trying to be grunge, and Slayer was like, nope, we're still Slayer. And Anthrax also was still Anthrax doing thrash and groove metal and stuff. And a lot of other thrash bands, including Exodus and Flotsam and Jetsam, who I love, 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 they all went softer and tried to do post-rock, you know, post-grunge or whatever sort of rock, and it failed terribly in most cases. And for me, this record's like an 8, because I wouldn't quite give it a higher grade, but I will say it's definitely not a bad record. The last 3 records for me for Slayer are like 10, 10, and 9. So like,
that's,
you know,
because you're kind.
I'm not kind. I'm actually brutally harsh. But
I'm honest and unmerciful.
I'm honest and unmerciful. If we had to, like, are we gonna? We didn't do a shirt tech, by the way. But if we're gonna do
Tanuki Sushi.
Okay. Well, I mean, I have my goat whore shirt on. I don't know what shirt Omar's wearing. I can't tell.
Celine motherfucking Dion.
Really?
Oh, Letterkenny stuff.
Yeah. I went to go see Titanic the musical.
Oh, nice. Okay. So quickly, if we're going to rank this, let's rank it quickly. I'm going to say Seasons, Divine, Rain, South, Hell, show.
You really have divine intervention above Rain and Blood in South of Heaven.
Yes.
Wow.
So South of Heaven is too short. It's too short.
This, I think it may be just like
the it barely counts over Hell Awaits. I'm sorry, barely counts over Live Undead. It barely counts over Haunting the Chapel. Said what I said.
I'll go crazy. I'll say, yeah, Divine Intervention, Undisputed Attitude, because I like all that stuff, man. And it's like Gemini is
well, probably... Undisputed Attitude is not part of this. We didn't do it.
Ah. Well, if I have to... Well, let's see.
The yeah. ones we did.
The basically. Ones you guys did. So I will say, yeah, Divine Intervention. Which one's got Black Magic on it? I like that one.
Hell Awaits.
Yeah. That one's fun. I like that one. Rain and Blood. And I think, yeah, the other two could flip-flop. You know, Seasons and South of Heaven could flip-flop for me. It's like I get...
You are dead to me.
I'm so over like War Ensemble. I was like, oh,
I told you.
That's the one
song. And Chemical Warfare.
No,
I've heard those songs so many times. I was like, yo, take these out. Give me something else.
Okay, I'm going to quote Ray Manzarek. Ray Manzarek has asked, do you ever get tired of playing Light My Fire? And he says, that's like saying, do you get tired of making love? That's War Ensemble.
I'm like, yo, you could play another song. You could pick any other song on that record and fill in for that song because
no,
they just, it's been like, I don't know. It's like there's certain songs in their set list that just been played too much to my ears. You know, it's like, oh, cool. Like, yeah, of course I'm going to hear Rain and Blood.
I need whatever. You to stop ruining to my childhood.
Maybe we have Omar come back on and we do Undisputed Attitude and just see.
I'll do Undisputed Attitude and Diablos because I think Diablos is fucking fire.
Well. We'll see.
Bitter,
we're kind of Slayer. We're Slayered out
you
after like.
You can't do it because you already spoiled it.
Six Slayer, seven Slayer records, and two EPs are pretty burnt right now on Slayer. But I'll say
this. Hold on. I'll give you this real quick. Live, like when Lombardo was in the band after Paul left in the early 2000s, and he was there. They played like three or four songs, like "Stand of Mine," you know, "God Hates Us All." And like one other song from that one, sometimes Payback. You know, I've heard, you know, those are the ones that they kind of stuck to playing Paul songs. Those songs were consistently in the set list when I saw it. But when Paul came back, I was like, yes, Paul's going to come back. Oh, I want to hear all these old songs I haven't heard in like forever. Because I've seen them ever since they started doing Undisputed Attitude and tours. I've seen them consistently since then. So, not hearing like Gemini or Divine Intervention, I was like, oh man, I missed these songs. I was so happy. I was expecting to hear these songs again. And nope, I didn't hear any of that stuff. So I was very like disappointed in Slayer for a while when they came back with Paul. I was like, oh, I feel like you're just skipping over your whole career. You know, it's like, oh, cool. We'll get God Hates Us All occasionally, but you know, which is a banger track, but you know, like, This is my era of stuff, and I'm glad I got to see him back in like, you know, the 90s when they were like heavy, like, it's our new record, we're gonna play the crap out of this record. And I was like, I'm glad I, you know, I was like, yeah, I don't expect to see here's a 30th anniversary of Divine Intervention, everybody, boom, you know, as much as I would personally love that, I don't know how the other people would love that. And I will give them a little credit, because Paul Bolstoff is 60 years old, and he's still crushing it. And it's like, I love that guy. He's a nice guy, too. I met him a few times. Great guy.
Super great guy. Really quick, and thank you, Omar. That was great. Rain and Blood. How could it not be your number one? Something's wrong with you if it's not. South of Heaven for me, because that's always been my favorite, technically. Seasons. Hell Awaits. Divine Intervention, and then anything else. And that includes everything we didn't do, by the way. I am the one person in the whole world that liked Repentless a lot. I still think they should have let Gary
co-write
it.
And you say there's something wrong with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And World Painted Blood's not bad. Christ Illusion's horrible.
Wrong.
Repentless just needed a better mix, incorrect. In my opinion.
Just needed another guitar voice in there. Should have let like Gary write like three, four songs, co-write.
I heard the title track, and the problem is you have Kerry writing way too much. You've got a resource. You choose to pee in the resource so nobody else can drink that water. It is what it is. All righty. Omar.
Didn't they flip-flop between writing, between albums? Like, one would write more on this record and one would write on...
I was going to mention that, but I didn't. But yes, there's definitely a thing, not on purpose, but it happened this way, where there would be like a Jeff album where he came in with more ideas, or a Kerry album. I think Divine, which is usually attributed to Kerry, is really also another Jeff album, but it is also half Kerry.
Can anybody see my facial hair, or am I just completely overshadowed by the beards?
I think you just see your beard envy.
Beard.
All right,
cool.
I see it. Omar. You're getting there. I believe in you.
Wow, I'm almost 50. Omar, thank you very much for joining us this week. It has been a lovely time. Your correct views on most of this record have been greatly appreciated by me. Keefe is wrong. That is fine. I find that to be a normal state of belief. Keefe, as always, this is one of my favorite. This might be my favorite hour of the week. However, we've gone an hour and 20, which makes me hate it. But, you know, I have to pee. That's why I hate it, because I really, really got to pee. So, Omar, thank you. Keefe, thank you. Listeners, double, triple, quintuple, septuple headspin, thank you. I've got two New York guys on the podcast this week, so I'm throwing out all of my New York references, which are all from Futurama. I'm sorry. The septuple headspin, parachute pants, you know what we're talking about, New York. Thank you, everybody, for listening this week. If you could take 3 seconds and like, subscribe, comment, share, that would be amazing. And, you know, we're a small content. We are not part of a giant podcast network. We are not featured on whatever website you go to that is not Ghost Cult. We are not featured on all of these amazing things. Nobody's writing articles about our podcasts, but you could tell one friend, and that would be great. But as we say on the weekly, thank you for listening. This has been the Glacially Musical Podcast. It does not play in Peoria.
You can have the last word, Omar, if you want to.
You've been great. I've been great. We're out.